that the same letters in the word listen are the same letters in the word silent. S-L-I-S-I-L-E-N-T.
Ooh.
Ooh. No. S-I-L-E-N-T. You want to spell it? Silent?
S-I-L-E-N-T. Yes.
Okay. And spell listen.
L-I-S-T-E-N.
Spell silent again?
S-I-L-E-N-T.
All right. Now do it. Now. No, I'm joking. No.
Ooh.
Crispy.
Ooh, crispy. Crispy. Phenomenal followers, friends, and family.
Welcome back to the Young Black Married Christian Podcast.
We know you fall into one of those categories. You may fall into some of those categories, but even if you fall into none of those categories, we promise you that over the next few minutes, we will give you 4 to 5 tips to fortify the future of your marriage.
This podcast is for people who want the best in their marriage and are willing to invest in their marriage.
There's a lot to get into, but we are going to do it for you.
We are your hosts, LaShawn and Doriana James, from all the way down in San Antonio, Texas, working hard to make sure your spouse doesn't become one of your exes.
Let's get started.
Let's get started. So, Doriana, today we are talking about how to even start having a hard conversation with your spouse, especially when your spouse doesn't want to talk or they just react so negatively to conversations. Like, they don't even want to start the conversations. Because here's what we know, Doriana. Mm-hmm. We know that there are hard conversations that people need to have in their relationships. I know that's a surprise. No. Maybe it's just us, Doriana. Maybe no one else needs this podcast but us. We should just listen to it.
Dang. But this is my therapy.
But if you are like us, there's a hard conversation that you need to have about sex. There's a hard conversation that you need to have about money. But it feels like every time you go into these conversations, your spouse is negative. Your spouse doesn't want to contribute. Your spouse feels like you're beating them over the head. Maybe you feel like, or your spouse feels like that you think you're Mr. Holier Than Thou.
Or Mrs. Holier Than Thou.
Or Mrs. Holier Than Thou. And every time you come to have a conversation, you're just, you know, teaching and teaching and beating them, you know, over the head. And so we want to give you some tools to maybe, you know, disrupt this power struggle that feels like it maybe is happening. And we want to give you some tools for that. So before we get started, we definitely want to approach the scripture. We want to be anchored in scripture, and we believe that how Jesus did things and what he said is actually more important than anything that we're going to say. Mm-hmm. So the first thing we want to do is, instead of just looking at a specific scripture, I want you to think about everything you've read about Jesus and how he taught.
Mm-hmm.
And ask yourself, how did Jesus communicate with people? How did Jesus communicate with people? And I want to break it down into just 3 simple buckets. Number one, he had teachings where he would literally just spit bars at people's heads, right? You know, the kingdom of God is this. The kingdom of God is like this. And he would literally just teach at them.
Mm-hmm.
But he also told stories and he asked questions. He mm-hmm. told so many stories that his disciples literally had to ask him, why do you teach in parables? Why do you tell stories so much? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine telling so many stories? People would just flat out ask you, why the heck do you tell so many stories? Also, he asked questions. He asked over 307 questions and he only answered about 180 of them. So Jesus led with questions and with stories.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually the scripture that we want to go over, is just looking at the Gospels, the 4 Gospels, and thinking of how did Jesus teach. And we want to acknowledge that he not only taught using just, you know, bars or just spitting at facts at people, but he also taught using stories and he taught using questions. Here's a question I want to ask. How often when we go to our spouse to teach them something, do we lead with questions versus leading with direct teaching?
Mm.
How often do we feel like we're going to change their life because we have some word of knowledge that we want to impart to them that is going to be so groundbreaking that it's going to change their life, instead of asking questions? So, here's what we need to do. We need to figure out how we can ask really good questions to start the conversation. But not only do we need to start the conversation, but we need to continue the conversation. So what are some tips and tricks to continue the conversation? So number one, let's answer that first question. How do you even start a conversation that's going to be really, really tough? So we actually have a method called the atmosphere story question method.
And ask.
Yeah.
With a Q.
With a Q, like the getaway. Ask. Is that even ghetto?
I'm sorry.
I take that back. That's not ghetto. That's just like misspelling.
Forgive him.
ASQ.
Repent.
ASQ. Atmosphere story question. And so to set the atmosphere, you want to make sure the atmosphere is intimate enough for intimate conversations. Now, I know this may go without saying, but too many times we're communicating via text message or maybe, you know, at the beginning of the day when like someone's running out to work, or maybe it's the end of the day when one person's super sleepy. And that is not an intimate setting for an intimate conversation. That atmosphere is all jacked up.
I don't know if it goes without saying. I cannot stand having important conversations via text. Like we had to get that out of our relationship marriage very early, because I'm like, this is not the proper vehicle for important things to be said. Stop arguing through text messages. If anyone is listening to this that does that, you try to have important conversations via text while, you know, someone's at work or out somewhere, stop.
That's not the right atmosphere. You're not going to get that conversation about sex or about the budget or, you know, whatever deep conversation that you need to have. Or misunderstanding or an apology. Like, that's not the right setting. It's not the right atmosphere. So number one, make sure you have the right atmosphere, and then just ask your spouse, hey, babe, can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question? Now, it's super simple. I know that that may seem like it's not necessary, but the reason why you want to ask your spouse, hey, babe, can I ask you a question, is because what you're doing is you're in that moment, you're giving them power to kind of guide the conversation. So they very well could say, no, I'm not really in the mood to talk. And that's okay. Don't force it. But most people will say yes. So you start off by saying, hey, babe, can I ask you a question? Now the atmosphere is set. So let's go on to the next acronym, or it's called S, right? This is the story. What you're going to do is you're going to ask them a story question. So you say, hey, babe, can I ask you a question? And then you're going to tell them a story. Just like Jesus told stories, we're going to tell them a story. And in this story, it's going to be vulnerable. It's going to be relevant to them. And it's not going to include them inside of it. So for example, Dorana, if I wanted to talk to my spouse about sex, and this is a hard conversation to get into, I start off by making sure it's an intimate setting. And I say, hey, babe, can I ask you a question? And now I'm going to tell them a story. Mm-hmm. Now, I could give the story of, hey, when I was raised by my mother, the conversations we had about sex weren't what they needed to be. Really, you know, I was exposed to a lot of pornography with friends, and I didn't really know what to do with that. And so because of that, it kind of warped my understanding of what sex is supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And it really hurt me. And it even affects me, like, even into our marriage, because I come in with so much baggage and expectations that probably aren't right mm-hmm. and aren't holy. And I'm still trying to work those things out.
Yeah.
So what I did there is I gave a story that was intimate. I gave a story that was vulnerable and it was relevant. And then I can go to the next step, which is to ask a question. Yeah. And so now I'm going to ask a question on behind that story. So I can say, hey, babe, the reason I tell you that story is because I kind of want to hear from you. What are your issues when it comes to like sex inside of marriage? Or what are your dreams for like what a good sex life looks like inside of a marriage? Mm-hmm. And so what I did there is I'm asking an open-ended question about her fears or her dreams. It's not loaded. There's not one correct answer. I'm not fishing for something. Like, this isn't the moment, fellas, to be like, so here's a question. I tell you that story because the question I have is, when we gonna have sex again? No, that's not.
I don't know why you make all ignorant men sound like I have this deep voice.
I don't know.
Like, your voice isn't deep enough, you know?
No, but like, when you say something really silly, you got to have a silly voice to go with that silly statement. So like, hey, baby, I tell you that story because I want to ask you when we're going to do it. No, that's not the purpose.
I wish I could have had a recording of LaShawn's face in this moment and then released it to the Phenomaly.
No, speaking of releasing something to the Phenomaly, we actually have a bonus teaching attached to this episode. So if you want to click it, you might see our faces. We might be able to go into some more detail about this. But all right, so here's the deal. Atmosphere, story, question, ASQ, set the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Make sure you have an intimate atmosphere mm-hmm. for the intimate conversation. Then you ask your spouse, hey, babe, can I ask you a question? They're probably going to say yes. Then you tell them a story. Make mm-hmm. sure it's vulnerable. Make sure it's relevant to the question you're about to ask. And then make sure it doesn't include them in the story. So don't tell a story about, well, the last time we had sex, I really liked it, but we haven't had sex a lot since then. That's my story. And the reason I tell you that is because I want to ask you when we're going to have sex again. That's not.
Never.
You don't want to do that. And here's why. Here's the research behind it, because I don't want you guys to think I'm just coming up with stuff off the top of my head. There's a technique called narrative transportation. And what happens in narrative transportation is, as you're telling a story, you sweep somebody up into a story, and you're actually able to accomplish something in this story that you can't accomplish with direct teaching or with just spitting bars at people. So think of a comedian. Maybe a comedian wants to talk about racism, but the current environment might not allow them to easily have a conversation about racism. So what they do is they start telling you a story that includes racism inside of it. And when they sweep you up into the story, the punchline is what they're able to accomplish that they can't normally do.
Yeah.
Like, you can't make fun of something, or you can't make light of something, or make a political statement outside of the story. So they sweep you up into the story and then they accomplish something. A lot like when you hear around like the Goldilocks and the Three Bears or some of these old fairy, not fairy tales, but like, what do you call them? Grimm's fairy tales.
No, those are kind of fairy tales, yeah. Nursery rhymes, fairy tales.
What you're trying to teach a child a complex topic like sharing.
Or don't break into people's houses.
Or don't break Goldilocks. Into bears' houses. Yeah, that vandalism's wrong. But what you do is you start with a story, because when you tell the story, you can then follow that story up with a question on what's the theme or what's the message or what's the lesson here. And because it's a story that the child is interacting with, they're more likely to draw something out of it, as opposed to you telling them a story about a time they stole or a time that they did something wrong or something that they did wrong, because they're on the defensive. But if you tell them a story about Goldilocks and Three Bears, they're more likely to go into that story willing to change their mind about something or willing to wrestle with a deeper concept.
Yeah.
Jesus did this where he said the parable of the wicked, I think it's the wicked servants, where a man went away for a long time and he gave his farmland over to people who were supposed to manage it. And when he sent people to collect, they beat the people that he sent to collect. And then he finally sent his son to collect and they beat and killed the son. And he asked the question right after he tells the story, he asked the question, what do you think should happen to these servants? And so Jesus is literally using the story question technique to help us accomplish something, a deeper idea or a deeper concept or a parable that he wants us to see. So you can do this in your marriage.
I think was the parable of the vineyard?
The parable of the vineyard, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He tells a story and asks a question.
Which Jesus did a lot as far as the Pharisees. He'd be trying to tell the Pharisees something or, you know, critique the way that they viewed their righteousness. And instead of being like, you, the Pharisees, a couple of times he did call them out directly. But most of the time he'd be like, hey, the Pharisees, you're doing this, this, and that. Instead of calling them out directly, he would kind of mention a story, which helps you see. I feel like a lot of times, Lashad, when you do this, it helps you see, like, if you were in my shoes, what would you think about this? And because a lot of times we get defensive if maybe we know a question is being asked directly, or a story is being told and we're in it, then I think we start looking at it from our point of view. But if we're able to ask or just tell a regular story, then we're able to see from objective? From a more objective mm-hmm. point of view. And of course, this technique's not just for having hard conversations as well. We also have this, you could build intimacy with these kind of these kinds of questions. But for this particular area, we're attacking it from the direction of having hard conversations.
And I like what you said, Doriana, about building intimacy, because intimacy, a simple definition, is into me see. I'm trying to show you something about myself that not many people see. So now you have into me see time. You're going to see something about my life. And if I tell a good story that's vulnerable, I am leading out in vulnerability. I'm leading out in intimacy, because what I'm about to do is I'm about to ask you to join me in this intimate conversation. But I can't be shallow and expect you to share your fears when I don't share my fears. I can't be shallow and expect you to share your dreams when I'm not willing to share my dreams. And so when you set the atmosphere and you tell your story, it doesn't have to be long, but it just needs to be relevant and it needs to be vulnerable. And you need to lead out in intimacy and lead out in vulnerability, such that when you ask the question, you're inviting them to join you as well. Speaking of stories, Doriana, we just found and discovered a podcast that tells stories in a way I really have never heard before.
Yes.
It is called the Forgiven Podcast, and it is more of an audio drama. So for those of you who may love murder mysteries or crime solving podcasts or podcasts where they tell a great story and you're wondering how it's all going to play out, and they're basically recounting kind of like this documentary style of what's going on, this is the perfect podcast for you. So yeah, The Forgiven is an audio drama retelling Bible scandals in a more modern setting, focusing on forgiveness. Yeah. Now, I know in today's culture, you know, we have a culture that maybe, you know, likes to cancel people, or we don't want, or maybe we feel like we need to be canceled because we've done things that are just, you know, unforgivable. But this podcast, it brings to life, really, some of the Bible scandals and Bible stories that you've heard about. And gives it kind of this updated feeling to where you feel like you're right there. I love the fact that they recast people for the role of like David or for some of the other roles that they have. Yeah. And they instead of making it just something that happened in Israel thousands and thousands of years ago, they actually retell the story as if it was happening like right now. And it feels like you can connect with the story in a better way.
Yeah. And I like how a lot of the things that happen in the Bible are like kind of cringy, like the scandals that happen. And this podcast really highlights and it brings to life some of the scandals of the Bible. And I love how, you know, when you see how scandalous some of the people were in the Bible, it highlights God is the main character. You know, it's not about how perfect people are, but really how flawed people are and how flawed people were and how God still chooses to love us. And he still chooses to, you know, be our God and have us be his people. And I just love how this podcast has all of these different ways to bring all of that to life.
Yes, you'll hear the stories of David, the story of Samson, the story of Joseph. And it's not just the audio drama that drops on Mondays, but they also have like scripture narrations and they have sermonettes and they also have personal forgiveness stories, affirmations, and even music in there. So it's not just the audio drama. It's actually like a whole, like it's like four different podcasts all in one. It's actually really beautiful.
Yeah, so they'll read like the scripture and they'll sing. They'll have like the artist that they're featuring. So it's like your own little worship service each and every podcast.
Yes. So if you haven't yet, click the link in the episode notes and go ahead and subscribe. And as a bonus to you for listening right now, if you subscribe, we're actually giving away some free gifts. And so if you click the link in the episode notes, you can claim that free gift just for subscribing and listening. Here's why we're doing this. We want to bribe you to surround yourself with things that stir your affections for Jesus. We want to give you free items and give you things that are going to bribe you to make good decisions. And so if this is one more podcast that you can throw in rotation to help you on your Monday morning commute to hear a great story told in a way that is up to date, then this is going to be something that you're going to love. If you're somebody who's a Bible nerd like me, you're going to try to look at all the little details of how they've translated this story to be updated for like 2020. And you're going to have a lot of fun kind of picking at like, oh, I know why they named that person
it's
this.
2021, by the way.
Did I say that? 2021? What did I say?
You said 2020, but it's 2021.
Oh, 2020 forever. No, 2021.
Whoa.
No. So if you're a Bible nerd and you're like me and you want to, you know, watch them update these stories to fit more modern context, then you're going to love that. If you're somebody who just loves seeing the Bible brought to life in creative ways, you're going to love that as well. So do me a favor, click the link in the episode notes and get that. And if you send us like a little screenshot or an email letting us know that you did that, we want to send you a free gift.
Yes. And I love what you said, LaShawn. Surround yourself with things that stir your affections for God. So that's podcasts like this one and like Forgiven. Yes. That's music. Yes. That's, you know, posters that talk about who God is, everything, shirts, whatever you need. But surround yourself with things that stir your affections for God.
Yes. So we talked about how to start a conversation with your spouse when normally you can't start the conversation because they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about the conversations that you want to have. We also talk about how to continue the conversation even when your spouse may be responding negatively. So how do you continue that conversation? What I want to share with you right now are just four techniques that I learned from an FBI negotiator, and his only job was to keep people talking. Literally, lives were hanging in the balance, and he had to negotiate the release of individuals. He had to negotiate just people not to get killed. And so his whole job was to keep the other person talking, because he knew if he can keep the other person talking, he was able to negotiate the freedom of the hostages. And so I want to take everything he's taught and actually give it to you to help you keep the conversation going between you and your spouse.
To free the hostages in your marriage.
Yeah, come on, you reaching, but that, I'll take it. I love it. Free the hostages. Your marriage is held hostage by your lack of communication. No, here it is. So if you have a pencil and paper, I want you to write down SLAM, S-L-A-M, SLAM. And this SLAM technique is really an acronym that gives you all the tools you need to keep your spouse talking for hours and hours and hours. Number one, for the first S is, did you know that the same letters in the word listen are the same letters in the word silent? S-L-I-S. I-L-E-N-T.
Ooh.
Ooh. No. S-I-L-E-N-T. You want to spell it? Silent?
S-I-L-E-N-T. Yes.
Okay. And spell listen.
L-I-S-T-E-N.
Spell silent again?
S-I-L-E-N-T.
All right, now do it. Now, no, I'm joking. No.
Ooh.
Crispy.
Crispy. Crispity, crunchity.
Crunchy. No. Crunchy. The same letters in listen are the same letters in silent. Too many times in a conversation, you're trying to upload and download information to your spouse when it needs to just open up one way. You need to allow your spouse to talk and keep them talking, not you interjecting or just sharing what you're going to share. And so the
stop
first
is talking.
Stop talking. Oh, man, I love that community. It's funny. You need to be silent so you can listen. And the next S is you're going to summarize what they say. And so let's say they're telling you a story about their day, about their boss that made them stay late at work. Just summarize what they say. And so you literally can say, so what I hear you saying is your boss knew you were leaving at 4:30 and sent you an email at 4:15 asking you to stay late to give a report. Is that right? And then they're going to say yes. And then they're going to continue to keep talking. So if there's ever a break in what they're saying, you can just summarize the last thing that they said and say, is that right? Is that correct? And what you're doing is you're allowing them to expound on it. If you summarize incorrectly, they'll actually correct you and say, no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is blank. And that's even a beautiful thing because you're keeping the conversation going because you are summarizing. Side note, you can actually use this as a technique whenever your spouse is complaining about something towards you, like something that you're doing. You can quickly say to them, what I hear you saying is blank. And if you don't get it right, then you don't defend yourself. You don't move on. So let's say you're in the middle of an argument and Doriana says to me, LaShawn, I don't feel like we're friends. And I say, oh, what I hear you saying is we don't go to movies enough. And she'd say, no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, we're not friends because you don't listen. And I'm like, oh, so what I hear you saying is you want to talk more. And you're like, no, that's not what I'm saying. And so
silent.
So what I'm doing is I'm trying to summarize what she's saying and hopefully I can get it right. But that's one technique to keep your spouse talking. That's the FBI negotiator. I think his name is Chris Voss, who shared the first thing you can do is just summarize what they're saying to get them to keep talking. The second thing you can do is label. So if you have a pencil and paper, S is summarize. The second one is label. And you can just say, hey, it sounds like, it seems like, or it looks like. And you're just going to label an emotion. So let's say my wife tells me, hey, I had to stay late because my boss sent me an email at 4:15, even though he knew I get off at 4:30. And he wanted me to fill out a report that he knows takes 2 hours. And I could say, as labeling, it sounds like that made you mad when he did that. Or it seems like that really made you upset. And she's going to say yes or no, or she's just going to keep talking. But all I did is I labeled an emotion that I heard. So I can summarize and I can label. The next one is affirm. I can affirm something in her. And I could say, can I just say, Doriana, I really appreciate how you handled that situation with your boss. Because you had the right to go off, but you didn't.
Keyword on don't go off.
Yeah, keyword on don't go off. Like I'm affirming and I'm appreciating something that she mentioned in the story. And then the last one is I'm going to mirror. I can just mirror her emotions and how she feels. And we normally talk about giving someone the three E's, the eyes, ears, and emotions. And we'll probably save that for just the premium bonus content.
Ooh, phenomenally. You hear that? You got some premium bonus content coming your way.
Come on, because you're guiding them on a path to self-discovery. You're asking questions and you're getting them to talk and you're guiding them on a path to self-discovery using the ASQ method, using the SLAM method. And honestly, there's two more things we need to share with you, but I want to share them. I want to change the setting. Ooh, I'm changing the atmosphere. Shifting the atmosphere.
I don't know that song.
It's Tasha Cobb. Yo. Okay.
You're about to sing more of it.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to sing any more of it. I'm going to shift the atmosphere. We're actually going to start. We're going to save this for the free bonus content because I don't want this podcast to go too long. So if you can, guys, join us in the inner circle. Go ahead and click the link in the episode notes and join us in the inner circle. And what I want to do is I want to talk about how to actually apply the SLAM method using the ears, eyes, and emotions. I also want to talk about how to partner with God to see your spouse change. Mm-hmm. And that's in the middle of a conversation. So you can still lead with really good questions and really good stories. But I want to make sure that we are actually able to hone this in and actually implement it. So if you're curious and you want to continue the conversation, meet us in the inner circle, click the episode notes, and we will see you there. Doriana, I think we promised them in a few minutes we'd give them a few tips to fortify the future of their marriage. And I think we did just that.
I think we did.
So guys, we love you and we'll see you in the inner circle.
Bye.
Bye.